This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton and adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick. Everyone?
Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 275 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Hiccup Joseph.
And I'm Katie.
And this episode is sponsored by Allie Pisano. Thank you, Allie.
Thank you, Allie.
Today we will be discussing part 3.
Finally.
I got you. Of chapter 25 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, The Seer Overheard. This chapter has been 40 long years. So make sure that you have read the whole thing and you're ready to wham and hiccup your way through the details. Before we begin, let's go to Megan for weekly profit news. I'm sorry. Hiccuping Joseph.
Yeah. Guys, I have the hiccups, but they went away. It's okay. Anyway, weekly profit. I saw on, I think it was Facebook, that Alfie Enoch, who was Dean Thomas.
Are you not currently dating Dean Thomas?
Is in a Christmas movie this season. It is like a UK British, it's like a British rom-com. And it is, I think it's available now in the UK through Sky Cinema. Mm-hmm. It says that it's going to be released in the US through Epics. I tried to find it on there and I didn't, so I don't think that it's available yet. But it's called This Is Christmas. And he plays like the main love interest.
Ooh,
saucy.
Yeah. I'm excited. I really like him as an actor. I really enjoyed watching How to Get Away with Murder with him. That sounded weird. But anyway.
It's a good show.
It's such a good show. And he's really good in it. So I definitely am down to watch this if I can find it. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to be cheesetastic?
Probably.
That's not Tiffany style, but that's a May style.
Yeah, it is.
Let me know how it is.
Oh, guys, I can't wait to tell you about this book that I'm reading. It's so freaking relatable. It's ridiculous. Anyway, actually, I'm reading 2 books at the moment, and they both have to do with baristas.
How did that happen? Did you know?
No, I didn't. I knew that the one was because it's called Legends and Lattes, which, by the way, it's a great cozy read so far. But the other one, I had no idea that she was a barista.
Legends and Lattes.
It's good. It's about like an orc. Anyway.
But an orc.
Like.
Yeah. Exactly like what Lord you're the thinking.
Ring? Oh, okay.
All right.
But she opens up a coffee shop.
Of course. Because what else are you going to do besides, try and get that one ring?
She's tired of all the adventure and constant moving around. She just wants to settle and open a coffee shop.
I feel that in my bones.
Anyway, make sure to follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends. Because if you like us, then they may too. Tiffany, what are you making that face for?
My husband in the chat.
Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swish Flickcast. If you would like to support us on Patreon, you can head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going and it gives you access to our exclusive Felix Files episodes, our Discord channel, which is freaking amazing and I love everybody that's in it, our live recordings, trivia games, Swish swag boxes, and more. Thank you guys so much for your support. We really appreciate it. As always, we are accepting Potter stories or any fun things, questions, or concerns to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
Very good.
Snaps
very
for Mixed Mouse Tales.
Thanks.
Truly. Mixed Mouse Tales. I need to set the mood for future listeners. It is Christmas time currently as of this recording.
Me.
Catherine, are you
Tiffany
looking
at me?
Yes, I am. Meet me up here. Ready? Last recap, you gave me the deets, and the very next day, I forgot them anyway.
That was good.
Beautiful. Love it. No, Brandon, he added a lyric. You saw Voldemort's feats.
Ew.
Funny.
We've already been, nobody put any feet in the chat or so help me Mia or will so lose her
me,
mind
so help me, so
help me. Something back where it came from, so help me. All right.
Oh jeez.
This holiday recap is brought to you by Swish and Flick. Harry has got a bomb dropped on him from Trelawney. Snape is the one who overheard the prophecy and fed the information to Voldemort. He is raging. He's mad. Flies to Dumbledore's office, ready to confront him. But when he goes to do it, Dumbledore found a Horcrux and wants Harry to come along. So they do have it out a little bit. But in the end, they kind of like, you know, they hash it out.
Yep.
Hash it out. Hashtag hash it out.
Yep.
The continuation of the story would be my summary, so let's keep going. Dumbledore does his "Will you listen to me?" speech, and then sends Harry off to get his cloak.
Why are you
Harry's
so mad?
Quite perceptive here, and gives the Felix to Ron and the Marauder's map to Hermione, and he tells them to watch Draco and Snape and to share the Felix with Ginny. And he heads on down to meet with Dumbledore, who tells him, "Don't worry, love. I use disguises all the time. I got this." And they head to the Hogshead and apparate away to the lake, TM.
Is that from the book?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that word for word?
It's word for word.
Yeah.
"Don't worry, love.
Don't worry, love.
I use disguises all the time."
I thought you said he tells them to wash Draco and Snape.
Watch.
Oh. No. Wash. I heard said... wash. I know you said it correctly.
It's the nasally thing that she has going on.
Oh, listen.
Go give him a little bath.
Oh, my gosh. I said to Alana, "Listen, Linda," this morning. She goes, "My name's not Linda." She goes, "I don't even know a Linda." I was like, okay.
Who are you, Olaf? Linda. I don't even know a Linda.
It was so funny. Oh, gosh. She's such a great kid. Okay. Dumbledore, shut it down.
Shut it down.
So Harry is in like this weird area where he's like, he wants to keep pushing forward with this conversation, but then he also doesn't, because he doesn't want to go like too far to ruin his chance of going along with Dumbledore to help destroy, well, get and destroy this Horcrux. And so it's almost like things are needing to happen like now that we're not going to properly close the lid on this conversation. We just need to really get
Ever.
Going. Ever. There are things happening in my home, and I don't know what's going on. So, very abruptly, Dumbledore is like, you want to go? we have a thing we need to do. And so Harry is more than ready to say yes. And we know now that there are some ground rules for this adventure, and Harry doesn't really care for them. But it is what it is. So, quote, very well then, listen. Dumbledore drew himself up to his full height. Not actually with a pencil, Megan. He said, I take you with me on one condition, that you obey any command I might give you at once without question. Of course, says Harry. Be sure to understand me, Harry. I mean that you must follow even such orders as run, hide, or go back. Do I have your word? So Harry goes, yes, of course. If I tell you to hide, will you do so?
Yes.
If I tell you to flee, will you obey? Yes. And here's the kicker. If I tell you to leave me and save yourself, will you do as I tell you? And that's the one that our hero is going to have a very hard time with. So he says, and he's like, drawn on, I don't know. Dumbledore says, Harry, with a question? And they look at each other for a moment, and there's very understanding in that moment what each other's thinking. And he ends up saying, yes, sir. So those are very hard rules for Harry Potter to follow. But he agrees. And so he's to go get his cloak and meet Dumbledore in the entrance hall in 5 minutes. And I'm reading this again, and I'm like, 5 minutes? It's like, that's really fast for such a gigantic castle.
Right,
like,
truly.
You better knees to chest run.
High knees.
Get there.
Knees to chest.
Seriously, that is some knees to chest getting where you need to go.
Pumping the arms.
Seriously. Down the track. Another quote. Dumbledore turned back to look out the fiery window. The sun was now a ruby red glare along the horizon. Harry walked quickly from the office and down the spiral staircase. I forgot to look up the meaning of red again. Does somebody want to pull that for me while I say my idea here? Totally forgot. But this moment feels very significant to me. Harry leaves him as he's looking out the window instead of Harry leaving him as he's gathering his own cloak or getting something to take with them. You know what I mean? It's this moment of pause, this moment of calm before the storm, so to say. It feels really, like I said, just feels really significant. This is the last time he will be in his office. Yeah, as a living body instead of a portrait. But, and I wonder, not only has he like really been working towards this goal with Harry, training him essentially for years, helping him test his strengths. This is the first moment and possibly the only moment where he can actually take him, lead him, show him how to do things, let him have some insight into the way that Voldemort is thinking and the ways that he does things, because he knows that he soon will be gone and Harry will have to do this himself. And this is the key to being successful. This is the key to being triumphant. And like I said before, his time is limited. We're at the very tail end of what is supposed to be a year's life sentence. You know what I mean? And this very, like, it should be it. And the plan is to, if everything had gone as he intended, get this Horcrux, come back, show him how to destroy it with the sword. Mm-hmm. However, Horcrux isn't real. Things don't go that way. Obviously, he dies before he can show him how to complete this. So as much as we talk about, like, how, dude, you have, like, so little time, nobody realizes how much time they actually have.
Right.
And that's a very human trait to have. And we can't put this guy on a pedestal. He is not perfect. I'm sure everybody already knows that. But it's oftentimes easy to think of Dumbledore as this all-knowing, all-perfect wizard. But no, he does have flaws. And this one is a very innocent one. Should he have told him how to destroy them before? Sure. Should that have been information been up front at first? Yeah, that could have happened. But I really feel like in this moment, he was being Harry's teacher and he was doing this hands-on, this magic that he performs by touching the cave walls and stuff like that stuff. Harry would have never thought of that. And he's really guiding him in this moment and showing him. And I really do feel like he wanted to do every little tiny step, essentially holding Harry's hand through it. But he never got that opportunity. So Megan or Katie, which Katie. One of you looked this up? Katie looked it up. So the sky is fiery and like a ruby red. And red has historically been associated with sacrifice, danger, and courage. And I think that's exceptionally fitting.
I got a little bit of chills when I saw that.
Someone in the chat, I think there were two people, said
yes, I haven't been looking at it, so tell me.
Shay and Katie kind of at the same time said, so unlike for sailors, red skies means someone will die. Red skies, someone dies.
Yeah, I thought of that poem for waters. Red sky at night, and sailor's delight.
And then
red
Bri
sky in the morning,
shared
sailor's warning.
Legolas. Mm-hmm. Said, a red sun rises, blood has been spilled this night.
This is a sunset. But. Oh, Mars, associated with Mars. Very good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so this moment, like, it's such a short glimpse, but just him standing there looking out the window and what I would assume would be maybe reflecting or preparing for this moment mentally. And I just think it's huge. Like, it's such a short little sentence that means a whole lot.
Do you think that he suspects? Because we know that he did tell Snape he would have to kill him, right? Like, we know that's in the plan. Do you think he mm-hmm. suspects that that is tonight? Or do you think that catches him off guard?
I think it catches him off guard. Like I said, I think his plan was to really handhold and show Harry exactly what to do. He obviously knows that Draco's up to things. He knows that entire plan. But do I think he thinks it's now? No. I think he underestimates Draco. Absolutely. So it sucks. And I have to tell you guys, my nose is tingling and my eyes are starting to water and I'm going to freaking cry. So I hope everybody's ready for that. I am emotional damage.
Okay. I'm not ready for this.
I'm really not. Like, he is. I know he's like woven into seven and very much present at the end, but like,
but still,
I love him so freaking much. Mm-hmm. All right. So for once in Mr. Potter's life, his mind is clear and he knows exactly what he needs to do. He has this plan in motion as he's going. The author kind of veils that and doesn't let us know what he's thinking as he does it. She just lets us see the end result, which is, I think, a kind of cool bit of writing. Hermione notices at first that something is going on and she's like, "You okay?" And he's like, "Yep." And then he's like, "Gone." She's like, "Okay, obviously, no, you're not fine.
I just got to poop, Hermione."
Shut up. And she inquires about Dumbledore and he's like, "Fine, I'm fine," which is a lie. He runs past them up into the dorm, grabs his trunk, takes out the Marauder's map and a pair of balled up socks. And there's our mention of socks again within the series, which is kind of fun. And he runs back down and he gives Ron and Hermione the quick, like, yada 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 version of what is going on. He's not pausing as they have their reactions to the story. And there's no gasps. There's no, like, there are gasps, I'm sorry, but he doesn't care. He just keep going. Ron's questions. Nope, I have no time for you, sir. I got 5 minutes. And so he just figures that they can work out the details amongst themselves later on. No.
Well. He says, this is Harry, so you know what this means. And then he explains, this means Dumbledore's not going to be here. So Draco's going to try again. He might be in the Room of Requirement. He's basically going to strike again. And he wants them to watch him. Ron and Hermione really want nothing to do with this. But they are so wrong tonight. They really should listen to him. I mean, they do, thankfully.
Yeah.
But like, so he gives the Marauder's map to Hermione and he tells her to watch Draco and Snape and also to please use the DA. He mentions the coins and how like she could communicate with them that way.
Don't they use those too, like in seventh year?
Like, yeah.
The people that are still at Hogwarts?
Yes. Ginny and Neville and Luna do, I believe.
So cool.
He then also, he notices that Hermione does look slightly fearful, I think for a couple different reasons. Like, yeah, this is a lot to take in, but I do also think she's really focusing on the fact that he's about to go and get a Horcrux with Dumbledore. And, like, mm-hmm. that's scary. But he doesn't have time to argue with her about this, so he really, like, just trudges through what he's saying. And he thrusts the socks, which is the Felix, into Ron's hands, and he tells him to use it between themselves and Ginny. And this is so perceptive. It's quite perceptive for Harry, in my opinion, because usually he kind of flies by the seat of his pants, but he really does think ahead in this instance. Like, he truly, this entire series has been so steadfast in his beliefs about Draco and what is going on, and nothing is straying his thought process from this, which ends up obviously being correct. But I feel like that's a little different for Harry. Like, usually that's Hermione, you know what I mean? And she was just like not on it this year. Just interesting.
Too busy pining after Ron.
She does have a lot going on, like, within herself.
So Hermione tells Harry that he should take the Felix, but Harry is quite insistent about this because he's like, I'm gonna be with Dumbledore, like, I'll be safe.
Like, that breaks my wee little heart.
I know. Because imagine if he had taken it, that probably would have also helped Dumbledore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But this is a really good freaking friend. Harry is like, no, I am insistent. You guys are taking this. I will be fine. I'm going to be with Dumbledore. I need to make sure that the three of you are safe.
It's almost like he knows, like, he won't be able to fully focus on what he needs to do. And he needs
unless
to fully
focus. Unless
he
knows focus. They're safe.
Right. Because yeah. he's convinced, like, something's happening while we're gone. Or, well, like, there's a really good chance.
And
right.
he's convinced that. I think also the fact that he's convinced the danger is coming to Hogwarts, not where he's going.
Right.
Yes, obviously what mm-hmm. he's doing is dangerous, but he doesn't think that they're walking straight to Voldemort. You know what I right. mean?
Been there, yeah. done that.
Correct.
Multiple times.
But he truly, truly believes that the danger is coming to Hogwarts.
Right.
Right.
So he's like, no, I think that this is a lot more important. You guys
essentially his this. House
yeah
Hogwarts mm-hmm. is his home
right
like I have to protect this Home Alone I have yeah. to protect it
Harry at least eat the mac and cheese first okay
Harry should have set up some booby traps in the Room of Requirement
that mac and cheese we should pour one out for
the mac
for
and cheese.
Kevin McAllister's mac and cheese I know it's been a week McAllister oh, I can't talk movie. It's fine. So anyway. Good.
I love Chris Columbus. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The director. Not the historian.
There was such the odd pause.
Oh, I just want people the to director. Know.
Yes, not the know person I mean. Who was awful in history. We're talking about the director.
You know.
Chris Columbus.
The cool one. So Harry heads off to the entrance hall. Like, basically, he says those things and he is gone. He's, like, running. And he heads off to the entrance hall and Dumbledore is there waiting. He tells Harry to put his cloak on and Harry throws it on. And he's kind of, like, trying to catch his breath. He's sweating. He's, like, following Dumbledore, trying to keep up with him. They head out and Harry says, "But what will people think when they see you leaving, Professor?" And Dumbledore replies that, "I am off into Hogsmeade for a drink. I sometimes offer Rosmerta my custom, or else visit the Hog's Head, or I appear to. It's a good way as any of disguising one's true destination."
What did you say before?
Don't worry, love.
Don't worry,
Don't
love.
Don't worry, love.
But, like, what does this mean? So he, like, disguising one's true destination. So, like, I
well,
guess
he's been going out and looking.
Right.
And gathering info. Remember, he's gone a lot throughout the year.
Do you think that, like, Aberforth knows and covers for him? Is that kind of what this means? Or?
I was going to ask that in my section, too. Like, does he have some sort of an agreement with Aberforth?
Maybe. There's so I think. OK, here's the thing. I think they're a lot closer than people think that they are.
I was kind of wondering that. Like, yeah, he gets mad at him because he's just, like, grouchy. But, like, they live so close. And he frequents the Hog's Head all the time.
They're, like, neighbors.
I mean, they, like, are.
No, I honestly, I think that they're... I don't know exactly what their relationship is. Obviously... I think when we see Aberforth in 7, I think he's mad that his brother is dead.
Yeah.
I think that he's mad that about the way that it went down and
kind of like history repeating itself slightly. It's like, yeah. How did he not learn from this?
I think he's frustrated that he left Harry all these things to do, not knowing that literally it's Harry that is the only person that can do them. Mm-hmm. And I just think that out of that conversation, when Aberforth was so seemingly just like, "I hate my brother," you have to sift through and you have to read between what he is saying. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the times people will say things out of anger when really they're heartbroken. Because yeah. Anger usually is secondary to an initial emotion that someone is feeling.
Right.
So don't use that conversation, people, to like base their relationship on just that.
Right.
Like, yes, they had a lot going on, obviously, everything with Ariana and Grindelwald was messed up, but I do think that they were closer and definitely in contact.
I agree,
especially with the mirror, him having mm-hmm. the mirror and knowing how to use it and who had the other part.
Mm-hmm.
That it in itself should let you know that they were talking to one another. Right.
Yeah. And then I wanted to end my section with just a quote from the book because I just liked how this was written. It was just like nice. It's like a good visual. They made their way down the drive in the gathering twilight. The air was full of the smells of warm grass, lake water, and wood smoke from Hagrid's cabin. It was difficult to believe that they were heading for anything dangerous or frightening. And I think that this little descriptor here is really important because, unfortunately, we do know that this is the last time Dumbledore is walking through the Hogwarts grounds alive, right? So, like, he gets to leave Hogwarts with the air full of those smells, which are comforting.
Oh, God.
They're like home. I know. But I thought I read that and I was just like, oh,
it's saying goodbye.
Yeah, it's like a good send off, unfortunately.
Even though when he comes back and he has to fly back to the tower, everything's a mess.
I know.
But like, you're right. It's just a nice, calm way to skedaddle.
Like, he got to have that last little stroll on the grounds. You know what I mean?
Got to see it in the last sunset. At Hogwarts.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, starting with that like ruby red sunset that Tiffany started with, and then Meg has this part, and then there's another part in my section. I don't know if I detailed it out, but I can bring it up. Like there's a lot of descriptors, and like it does feel like a goodbye. Like it feel like it is a setting for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like, just so interesting how we're going through this and knowing what we know now. Just picking up on all these small details that are just like little nods to him, you know, mm-hmm. little chapters that are closing along the way.
Yeah. I like what Coleoli says in the chat. Hogwarts isn't, I mean, I don't like it because it's freaking sad, but it's true. Mm. Hogwarts is never the same after this moment for anyone.
It's true. It's true. I would like to think that later on, once things were repaired, people were in different like teaching positions and whatnot. Like when Neville comes and starts to teach, I would like to think that the vibes go back to being positive.
Yeah.
Once they clean up the castle and stuff. No, yeah. Totally, though.
Yeah.
So Harry asks Dumbledore if they're going to be apparating. And Dumbledore says yes, and he's like, you can do that now, can't you? And Harry like admits to himself, like, I should probably be honest about this. He's like, yeah, I am, but I don't have a license. And he's thinking, like, what if I ruin everything and I apparate and I end up like 100 miles from where I'm actually supposed to be and I just screw everything up? So Dumbledore's like, it's no big deal, I can assist you. And I did pull that little description that I was talking about, so from the book. They turned out of the gates into the twilight deserted lane to Hogsmeade. Darkness descended fast as they walked, and by the time they reached the high street, night was falling in earnest. Lights twinkled from windows over shops as they neared the Three Broomsticks.
That makes me feel so much like walking through Hogsmeade at Universal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like.
Yeah, for true.
I want to like read that line over a video of Hogwarts, of like Hogsmeade at twilight.
That's a good idea. Can we talk about something really quickly? Vinny says, speaking of which, we never have seen what Hogwarts meant for Dumbledore. Aside from a safe place for someone powerful to be in check. I like thinking about it this way. So we've talked, and I think I'm guilty of this as well. We've talked about how Hogwarts is as Harry Potter is a student. And we've read that Dumbledore is the best headmaster that Hogwarts has ever had. Mm-hmm. But when we read Harry's years, he's very absent. There's not really a whole lot of interaction going on between him and other students. He's not present. He's kind of this overlooming, like, big figure, like, you know, bigger than life kind of guy that doesn't really come and get involved in learning, which, not okay. But here's the thing. I think that Dumbledore found Hogwarts to be as much of a home and a place of solace just as Harry did. He doesn't have his family anymore. The staff and the kids, I feel like, were essentially his family. The relationship that he has with McGonagall, that seems to be very caring. Obviously, he cares about Snape, and they have a really they have a trusting friendship there. And I feel like we never got to see Hogwarts outside of Harry's time. And I feel like Dumbledore, to earn people saying he was the greatest headmaster that Hogwarts ever had, I think he truly lived and did that as headmaster. But when Harry came on the scene, this is literally saving the wizarding world. And he's the only person that knows how to do it. And so we see him aloof from other students. He's not present because he's working behind the scenes, because quite frankly, time is of the essence and he can't be. So, like, I just think that Hogwarts for him was kind of similar to Harry and Voldemort, I guess, because it was their home. Voldemort for different reasons, though it was this place where he felt like he was top-notch, powerful dude. The only place where he really, like, belonged. But, like, Dumbledore really felt, I think, that they were family.
Yeah.
Sorry, soapbox moments.
Don't be sorry.
But yeah, so I think, honestly, I think that, you know, outside of Harry's years, he was probably very much present.
Mm-hmm.
That Harry screwing everything up.
Well, that's what happens when prophecies are made in front of you.
Right?
It's not his fault. Involves you. He didn't ask for this life.
True. Oh, that just adds a layer of sad to it. Anyway.
Yeah.
So they're passing the three broomsticks, so they're coming close to it, and they hear shouting the closer they get. Here comes Madame Rose Myrta, who is, quote, forcibly ejecting a grubby looking wizard from the pub. Go, Madame Rose Myrta, go. So then she's like, oh, she says hi to Dumbledore, and she comments on him being out so late. And Dumbledore's like, oh, you're gonna have to forgive me, but I'm off to the Hogshead. No offense, I'm just looking for a quiet atmosphere tonight. This part's just like a little bit creepy. Turn the corner so that they see the Hogshead sign, and the book says it creaked a little though there was no breeze.
Ooh.
Are there goats in there or ghosts? It also appeared to be completely empty, which is like in complete contrast to the three broomsticks. I kind of feel bad for Aberforth, but like maybe he should get a dishwasher and clean his glasses, you know, or like magic. I don't know.
Jeez Louise.
If I got a cup like that, I would not drink out of it. I'm just saying, like, how does he keep it in business?
I don't know.
It's just maybe him and the goats. Kicking back dirty, like, butterbeer.
Sometimes there are just places that people go and they just have lower.
But nobody goes.
They do go, though.
But they do.
They do.
Yeah, it's true.
The seedy people go.
The seedy people, yeah, right.
It's like,
Mundungus loves the Hogshead.
Right.
Dressing up, going
that's
in.
What I'm looking for.
Overhearing like conversations of kids.
People have lower, not expectations.
Standards. Some people love a good dive bar. We had dive bars when I was in college.
Vinny says it's a money laundering scheme.
You go somewhere where it's nickel shot night, all right?
Oh my god, right?
A nickel.
That's a John Mulaney joke.
It's nickel shot night.
I was over
is that
here
it?
On the bench.
That can't
no,
be it.
I'm not done
oh,
yet.
God.
I have a couple more lines.
All right.
So Dumbledore's like, we don't have to go inside. Like, real cool. Don't say hi to your brother. As long as no one sees us go, like, we're fine. This is where I was wondering, like, does he have an agreement with Aberforth? I forget who said it, but someone in the chat was like, maybe if he sees Rose Myrta, he says he's going to the Hogshead. Maybe if, like, Aberforth happens to see him, he'll pretend to go to the Three Broomsticks just to, like, cover his alibi.
Yeah.
I like this part because so Dumbledore knows that Harry doesn't have a license but can't apparate. So he tells him to put his hand on his arm and he says, like, there's no need to grip too hard. I am merely guiding you. So he trusts that Harry can apparate,
mm-hmm.
but he's still like, I'm here for you if you need it. It's a nice little, like, teacher moment.
It's the guide. That's what yes. I'm talking about. His intentions for this entire evening.
Yeah.
To guide.
I like it a lot.
Katie.
So they apparate and they appear in cool darkness with fresh, salty air. We've arrived at our destination, our 7 Horcrux rated resort. Welcome to the lake.
Well, almost. We're outside of it.
True.
I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a vacation.
Oh, this is the lobby, Bree says.
Oh my gosh. We are almost there. I don't know. I feel like I need to like put my lake sunglasses on, get a beverage in my little koozie, maybe a little sunscreen on my cheeks and for next time.
We need to find that drawing that
on the beach.
Who did it? Yeah, someone drew Dumbledore on the beach. I think it was Bev.
I think it was
so
Bev
long
drawing.
Ago.
Yeah, it was forever ago.
Bro, that was like first book stuff.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a long time ago.
Oh, so long. Oh man.
All right, let's pull these lightning
bolts. I hope you're ready, everyone, for a very emotional Tiffany in the next 3 to 6 to the end of the book.
I was trying to type zap to get the lightning bolt, and because we were talking about the lake so much, I typed lake.
Did that bring up anything?
It brought up a snowflake.
Oh. Okay, almost.
Why does it work?
And through 7, yeah.
Oh, there you
go. Look at Mark.
Yeah, styling.
You so cute. Tell me you just took that right now because that would make me happy. Or is that a past pick? I want it to be now. Lie to me. Lie to me, Mark.
You did.
Oh, no, wait. No. Are you lying though? Now I'll never know.
Oh my God, I love it.
Where's the sunscreen? Put some on your nose.
Wait, what are slash commands?
I'm confused. What's happening, Megan?
Listen, I just figured out how to do this the old way. You mean to tell me it's changed? Okay, well, anyway, they pulled. So, okay, lightning bolt questions.
Brandon, I'll still cry. I don't care if you're ready or not. Ready or not, here I cry. Look
Katie,
how cute. Katie
K from Hufflepuff says,
Do
you think if Harry hadn't just shown up with the memory, Dumbledore would have sought Harry out to take him or be like, there's no time, gotta go now, and go himself? I think he always had the intention to take Harry to the lake no matter what.
Yeah, he would take him. Like going I said, I feel lake. Like he had to. Like, this was a have to thing. This is me teaching you how to do this. And so it would be pointless to go without you.
Also a good thought. Marguerite asks, do you think Dumbledore took Harry because he had an idea he might need a second person due to Horcrux potential?
I mean, with this one, you did.
But he didn't know what was going to be there. But he had a feeling and been like,
I've got a feeling we might need two people.
So
I don't know. I think it was a happy accident that both of them were necessary. Yeah. How would one do that on his own? On their own?
Yeah, you'd have to go back.
I mean, eventually he was okay and didn't succumb to like crawling to the lake to stick his face in the water. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe he could have done it by himself.
Yeah.
Mm.
I
know.
I don't like that.
You
part.
Got to have your wits about you.
But
how cute. We should use. Wait, can we save? Give us permission if we can save your pictures, because then we can post them on our social media for when we get to
when we drop this
recording.
Oh my
the lake.
God!
Yeah.
Or the next episode.
We'll post ours too again.
Yeah, just let us know.
Okay. Sam asks, do you think Dumbledore's teaching style would change if he was teaching Harry in the classroom setting rather than these chaotic meetings and field trips, or would it be the same?
Say it again. I'm sorry.
Do you think Dumbledore's teaching style would change if he was teaching Harry in the classroom setting versus these chaotic meetings and field trips, or would it be the same? I always envisioned Dumbledore to be a very hands-on teacher, so like I do think it would still be similar.
Yeah. I feel like the way he teaches is very involved. It's very, it's not I do, it's we do. Like, we're going to do this together.
Sounds like Remus Lupin.
Mm-hmm. I love it when you can also show, like, end results and like kind of work backwards from that. So like, this is our goal. This is what we want to get to. Let me show you how we get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Catherine asks, what do you think would have happened if Harry had taken the Felix before their trip?
They would have walked in the cave and the Horcrux would have come to them.
Yeah. Accio Horcrux would have worked. Right. I don't know. Would there have been some sort of Voldemort magic to crush any spell like that? You know how Gringotts has spells and enchantments to get rid of certain things. I feel like Voldemort would have made sure that you can't get lucky here.
Yeah.
Which is sad for a vacation spot.
I do not like Voldemort magic. I don't like how that sounds. I don't like it.
Truly, but some of it is literally his.
I know.
Just him.
Oh, I kind of like this. Marguerite says, do you think the quote disguising location is a hint to Harry in regards to Seven and his future actions he may need to take?
Why not?
Disguising location?
Like Dumbledore. Like Dumbledore going into Hogsmeade. And not being seen, you know? Like, I don't know if it's necessarily a hint, but I think it could be like foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a hint that Harry is supposed to know and think of, but I think it could be the author's way of like foreshadowing that like Harry may have to do this too when he comes to Hogsmeade next, you know?
Well, he does take a lot of leaves out of Dumbledore's book, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
He even thinks to himself, am I like Dumbledore keeping secrets and whatnot? And that's when he kind of pushes back against that when he tells Neville to kill the snake, right? Because he doesn't want to end up being that way. But a lot of it is very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You can't deny that. He's got style.
Let's see.
I know this episode feels really short, and I'm sure everybody is also thinking that, but like, I feel like we touched on some really important pieces within just the small third of a chapter.
Yeah, I agree. Let me see.
God, that's what I love about doing this so much. Is like, even with just a small portion of one chapter, it has so many things to think about.
Ooh, I like this. Marguerite says, if you could write a book or movie script that's from the mindset of Dumbledore, what would you love to see? Would you want to hear his final thoughts? I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see everything from things with Grindelwald. I would love to see him in school as a student.
Yeah.
I would love to see after Voldemort's downfall, first time, but it wasn't really real, but like how he started planning, like literally that night, about how this was going to pan out, the things that he needed to do, his planning, his preparation. I want to see him connecting the dots. I want to see him going and finding the ring. I would love to see absolutely everything.
I want to watch his journey of like learning about himself that he's too tempted by power, so he needs to like distance himself from it. But like at one point in time, he did seek power when he was younger. So I think that'd be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's end the lightning bolt round with a fun one.
Okay.
Desi says, which would you rather give up forever? Disney Cokes or Butterbeer? Definitely Butterbeer.
Butterbeer, because it's so sweet, but Disney Cokes are freaking chef's kiss.
Okay, but can I just say that I would give up Disney Cokes and then just have McDonald's Cokes and then I could still have Butterbeer?
Cheating. All right.
Like cheating or smarts?
We'll go with both.
All right, give me a fan story.
Okay, this one has an update, which always makes me happy. So this comes from Joseph, December of 2021.
Shut up, Joseph!
Oh my gosh.
sorry, Joseph, we're not laughing at you.
Is we're it like, hiccuping Joseph? I had the hiccups before we started recording, and we were taught, I sang to Cotton Eye Joe, and it was hiccuping Joseph. So that is the joke. That's the joke.
That was
That's so funny.
Oh my gosh. What a coincidence.
Oh my God.
Thank you, Joseph, Thank for you, being Joseph. You. I like the name Joseph.
It's a good name.
It is. It is.
Hi, ladies. Here's my Potter story. Please excuse the length. Joseph,
you're fine.
Don't worry about it. I first read Harry Potter in 2001 when I was 23. I think I've been aware of it since about 2000. The hype was building, a movie was being made, people were talking nonstop. I remember riding the bus and overhearing people talk about it. Like many, I thought it was for kids, and I thought, no thanks. I avoided it, thinking it couldn't actually be any good, and it was just a fad. Sounds familiar. In summer 2001, the hype was at fever pitch, and even my mom was reading it. She usually only read biographical or historical books, with the occasional Agatha Christie thrown in. I had never seen her read fantasy. One day, I was at my mom's and saw the first two books on her shelf. I had time to kill, so on a whim, I pulled it off the shelf and opened it to chapter one. Before I knew it, I was halfway through the book, and I was hooked. I finished it quickly and read the next two in rapid succession. I loved the movie when it came out soon after and eagerly awaited Goblet of Fire and all the rest of the books. I work at UPS and remember those years when we would see the boxes coming through with the latest Harry Potter book just before they were set to release.
Oh my
nice.
God.
So cool.
Temptation, I would
those
have
things
felt.
Were locked down.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure. I would have been like, I'm just going to like take a really long time on my route. Bring some tape with me. Open this box, read it, and tape it back up.
Oh my goodness. On your next job interview. So why did you get fired?
What are you talking about?
Really like Harry Potter books.
I decided myself to step away from that position, actually. Mm-hmm. It wasn't right for me.
To this day, Goblet of Fire is still my favorite of the books, but Deathly Hallows is a close second. Sorcerer's Stone is my favorite of the Potter movies. Fantastic Beasts is my overall favorite. Eventually, I took the sorting quiz on Pottermore. I ended up taking the quiz 3 times to be sure. The first time I was Slytherin, and I wasn't sure how to feel about that. So I took it again and was now a Hufflepuff. But this felt less definitive, so I took it a 3rd time. I was Slytherin. I've embraced being 2 parts Slytherin and 1 part Hufflepuff. So I'm now a proud Slytherin.
I like that.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Welcome. Now I have been reading Harry Potter to my kids at bedtime. It's been a years long affair since I can only read to them on the weekends since I work nights and I intersperse other fantasy series in between, like Lord of the Rings finished and Percy Jackson. Blood of Olympus is next. My daughter is now 10 and my son is 6. My son falls asleep quickly, but my daughter always stays awake, determined to hear everything. As I write this, we are in Half-Blood Prince. In fact, the next chapter coming up this weekend is The Cave.
Oh my God,
this is
Katie.
Crazy. I swear I did not read this beforehand.
Oh my God.
I swear.
That's the next chapter.
How could we have known you would be hiccuping Joe this whole time?
Tiffany. Oh my God. Knowing me, many tears will be shed. For me, 3 moments in the series bring copious amounts of tears. Into the Forest of Hollows, Dobby's death, and Dumbledore's death. I plan on timing the finish of Deathly.
Hedwig?
Yeah, that's literally a sad
That
tweet.
One just caught me so off guard. I was just like, wait, what?
That one was the meaning behind that death is so significant. I mean, we'll talk about it, but lordy.
I plan on timing the finish of Deathly Hallows around my daughter's 11th birthday next November. Which I think is like last month because this was 2021.
Oh,
when
awesome.
She'll get to be sorted into a Hogwarts house.
Oh, we got an update this year.
My wand is laurel wood with a dragon heartstring core, 14 inches and slightly springing flexibility. My Patronus is a swallow.
A wood.
Thanks for all you do in putting out this podcast. Don't let the muggles get you down. But wait, update November 2022.
There's more.
My daughter took the Wizarding World sorting quiz and she is a Ravenclaw.
Oh my goodness.
She's pretty. She's pretty happy about it. She also has a dolphin Patronus. Hey, hey. And she has a 12-inch wand with a phoenix core.
Ooh, that's my
Love
core.
Thank you, Joseph, a.k.a. Hiccup and Joe. Seriously, though, I love this story. I love it. And I love that it just very well fit into right now, completely coincidentally.
Love it.
I like that your favorite book is Goblet, too. Yeah. I feel like not a lot of people have that as their favorite. And it's such an underrated book. Like, we felt like that when we went through it.
After rereading it, it's definitely up there for me.
Mm-hmm. So good.
You ready for a joke?
Yeah. Joseph, thanks for your story.
Prepared.
Yeah, I do have one prepared.
If this isn't about somebody named Joe, hiccups, caves, I don't want to hear it.
Well, I did look up bath jokes and dirt jokes because Brandon told me I needed more jokes because these are sad times.
Oh.
But I will also look up hiccup jokes and Joe jokes.
Joe jokes.
But from the, which one is this? The Howling
These
Hilarity.
These hiccuping jokes are kind of morbid.
Oh, great. That's what we need.
Howling Hilarity for Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
What's Voldemort's favorite kind of music?
I don't know.
Soul.
That's good.
These jokes are bad.
Why did the skateboarder bury his head in the dirt? Face plant.
Why dirt?
Because of the dirty glasses.
I missed that.
At the hog's head.
Yeah.
This one is probably the only funny one worth reading off of this.
I thought you meant dirty, like, eyeglasses. I was so confused.
What vehicle is the worst kind of gas guzzler? A hiccup truck.
Oh my god.
Okay. Nice.
My roommate said the coffee tasted like dirt. I said it was ground this morning.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not reading any of these other ones. They're so bad.
Put one in the chat.
They're like offensive.
Oh, then don't. I thought you did. Okay, never mind. I didn't know they were like that.
No, they're bad.
Okay.
Also, I looked up bath jokes, but then bathroom jokes came up, and I was like, hello, this is Swish and Flick poop. So, why did the toilet paper roll down the hill? To make it to the bottom.
Oh, that's good. Cute. I should tell that to one to Alana.
She would like that. Are we done?
Yeah, these get really interesting.
Well, if you would like to follow us on the social medias, you can. Myself and Katie are on Instagram and TikTok at The Peters Family, and Tiffany is on Instagram and TikTok at Tiff Swish_Flick. Sorry.
Whoa.
Okay. Amateur hour. People are going to follow the wrong one.
Sorry. I was being dumb.
No, you're not. What have I been doing, you ask? Peeling first graders off the ceiling, pretty much. They are wild, feral, if you will. But no, it's been quite a week, and I was shocked to discover this morning that it was literally only Thursday and not Friday.
It's almost there.
I'm so over it. I need a break. So, and they need a break from each other too. They are like nitpicky. I'm like, dude, just leave each other alone. Don't look at anyone. Just don't.
Right.
Blinders. But Santa came today and it was one of the cutest things I've ever seen in my life. And they were so happy to see him. And we have been writing him letters. So it's been good times.
That's cute.
I'm currently listening to Lord of the Rings, Two Towers. It is significantly better for me than Fellowship was. Fellowship, like, drug on and on and on. And there was so much singing. But Two Towers is pretty great, like, right off the bat. So I'm really excited about that. I'm reading The High Mountain Court, which some things just got revealed. It's getting very good.
Did you know that's a trilogy?
I did. Mm-hmm. I already have the second one downloaded. Nice. I really, really enjoy it. Some things I'm like, meh, about the writing. Mm-hmm. It's just a little, sometimes cheesy for me, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not into the cheese.
I have an
author
that, like, people love, and I just cannot read. I just can't read her books because they're, I just don't think that she's a very good writer.
Not your style. There's, like, okay. Just not everybody is going to like everybody. Not everybody likes this podcast. That's fine.
Yeah. You're wrong, but that's fine.
Yeah, only when it's about us. You're wrong.
True. True.
We're great.
That's I've been lifting again the past couple of days.
Yeah, Tiffany.
Did a couple of lifts with my Peloton app.
Get them gains.
I know. Oof. Glutes today.
Oof.
Hammies.
Let me know
quads.
If you can sit tomorrow.
I cooked them Christmas hams. You're here. They're ready. It felt really good. I started out with very low weight because I didn't want to like not be able to walk, but yeah. I can't wait to build again. I did get an early Christmas present. I'm looking at it. It's still in a box, which I'm dying a little inside because I want it so bad, but I have to. Marty's going to put it together for me. I got a spin bike. I got like a really good one too. And I can put my tablet on it, my iPad, and stream Peloton rides.
Cool.
And I'm really, really excited. I can't wait. Like I can't freaking wait. And we're getting rid of our treadmill. It was given to us. So it's like no loss there. But it like slips, which isn't really safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Marty doesn't feel comfortable giving it away to anybody else. So he's going to take it apart and put it on the lawn and see if anybody picks it up for parts. So hopefully somebody does that. But yeah, just waiting on Christmas break. I am ready.
You're so close.
I'm so ready. Have I been watching anything?
Harry
the
and
documentary.
Meghan.
Yeah, the Harry and Meghan doc. Is that it?
Man, I finished it today.
I can't wait.
I'm not going to talk about it too much because I do know that it is semi-controversial for some people. And also,
yes.
A lot of people probably haven't watched it yet. And I don't want to spoil anything for anybody who cares about that. But all I will say is that I think that they are great people and they did what they needed to do, not only for their mental health,
right,
but also their actual safety. Like they had to do what they did. And that's all I'll say. So I finished that today. Phil is losing his little puppy mind right now. I finished Kingdom of Ash. That's big news.
Yes.
I finished Kingdom of Ash. I want to start an entire SJM reread, which actually Steph Holmes is doing on her Bookstagram, Dr. Bookish Biologist. Right? That's it, right?
Yeah.
Doctor.
We made her change it to Doctor.
So I'm definitely going to be doing that with her. She's going to be doing like an order that they were released, which I think is interesting. It'll be cool to like maybe pick up on things reading them in the order that they were actually released. So that's like in the order that she was thinking and writing them in, which is interesting. I started Legends and Lattes, which is interesting for me because it's a book written by a man. Don't do that often. Not only is it written by a man, the main character is a woman and the audiobook is read by a man, which is interesting to me. It's kind of throwing me off a little bit, but he's doing a good job. He's the actual author of the book. Like he also read it for the audiobook,
cool.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
I don't usually like books written by men.
Meg found the sweatshirt that said men written by women.
I really want it. It's from the Common Room Shop, if anybody's heard of them.
It looks amazing.
It's so funny.
It's just so funny because you've literally said that so many times and then it's on a sweatshirt.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm liking that book so far. And then I'm also reading, I'm blanking on the name of it. I think that it's,
oh, I can see the cover. I know. Can't think of the name.
Kiss Her For Me. What is it?
Kiss the Girl?
No. I know the author is Allison Cochran because she wrote The Charm Offensive.
Phillip's off the hook today.
Why am I blanking? Images, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Kiss Her Once For Me. Thanks, Google. That's what it's called.
You just missed one word.
I know. I am really liking it, except it's really hitting close to home because it's about... It's about a girl who has a degree and she's not currently using her degree. She's working as a barista. She moved away from all of her friends and family to go and live in this city far away from them and thinks that she should just move back to Ohio. Like,
whoa, who does that sound like?
I was reading this book and I texted
Meg is like, it's me, I am an author.
Stefan was like, what is this? And she's like, I didn't even pick up on that.
Oh my God.
So yeah, anyway, that's funny, but I'm enjoying it. I really like her writing. If you haven't read The Charm Offensive, I highly recommend it. It's really, really good. And I'm sure that I will really like Kiss Her Once For Me too, because she's just a really great writer. Other than that, big news in the Petrus fam. We're signing a lease for a new apartment.
Hey-o.
Guys,
this happened in a very Petrus fam fashion.
It did, because let me tell you, first of all, we've been having a lot of issues with our apartment complex, which, like, I swear to God, I do not like to complain. Okay, I do not like complaining. But I feel like a lot of things in my life in the past couple of years have just warranted a lot of complaining. And I hate that for me. I was so happy to move to this apartment complex that we live in now. And it was great until there was new management that came in. And they have been awful. And it sucks that this place got like ruined because of the new management here. And don't you worry. When we move, I will tell you where we live, because that is how bad it is. People need to know to not live here. Like, we have had our elevator broken for 5 months.
Well, hold
5 months. And not only that, I demanded to speak to the property manager, and the email that I got from her, got an email from her tonight.
You did.
It's ridiculous.
Of course it is.
It's ridiculous. With absolutely,
I love that journey for her.
No offer for any type of compensation. 5 months with no elevator.
Well, and within this year, it was broken last year around this time for 3 months. So like within a year, it's been broken for more than half the year.
And here's the thing. I understand that they're not needed, but genuinely, my father cannot come and visit us because of the elevator being broken. He literally cannot walk up the steps to the fourth floor. He has not been able to come and visit. And not only that, he almost doesn't even want to, because what if we plan a trip and then it breaks?
Right. Because it's been so unreliable.
It's so frustrating. And I have dropped the whole this is an accessibility issue, and they literally don't care. I'm just like, so
they, because that was my right? first thought when you were saying this, like, this is very ableist of you. And it's not that. And then when they said people who
move to a first floor apartment, they told me my suggested option. They said, well, if you want to, and I was like, who's gonna carry my furniture
I'm sorry,
down all the stairs,
ma'am? If I can't go upstairs, you think I want to move my whole life?
Right? Yeah,
absolutely asinine yeah. behavior.
And they tried to be like, well, you know, if you know we only put people who need the accessibility in the first floor apartments. And it's like,
so what if I
live on the fourth floor and something happens?
What if I break my leg? Knock on wood. But what if I did?
And then this is the other thing that really gets me is the one time I was in there, the girl who works in the office is like, I totally understand. The apartment complex that I live in doesn't have elevators either. And I looked at her and I was like,
you signed up for that.
Yeah.
But when I signed my lease here, there were elevators. And it's one of the reasons why we moved here. So please do not compare your apartment to this one because you signed that lease with no elevator. Oh my gosh. Anyway.
Over people.
So anyway, I'm super excited to put them behind us.
I like that phrase. I'm going to turn the page on this chapter.
Yeah, because I, first of all, yes, shout out to Janine. You can literally become disabled at any time.
Yes.
And the fact that they literally don't care, like, it's terrible. It is terrible. It's so frustrating. So
it's also just the way they handle it too. Like, we've literally been lied to, I believe, 4 times as to like when they have ordered a part or when they're going to start fixing it. It's like, if you like, just give me the straight facts.
The
Don't
new
lie.
Date is December 21st, so we'll see what happens.
please. You know what? No, they're gonna start it. I'm doing air quotes.
Yes,
on the
no,
21st.
I, this is exactly
then,
yes.
Oh, it's the Christmas holiday, yep. So we can't come in for a week.
Because the last time I walked into that office and asked them, they were like, "Oh, he's not in this week because of Thanksgiving," and I was like, "He's not in all week because of Thursday." Okay,
I still listen. That's a big holiday, all right.
Oh my god! I guarantee you. Yeah, they said the 21st. They're gonna be
it's gonna happen.
Actually, he's gonna be in after the new year.
Mm-hmm. It's totally gonna happen.
Dumb.
Anyway, Katie, do you want to say where we're moving? I'm totally down to announce it.
The moon.
Yeah, we're moving to the moon. Like, okay, yeah. I don't know how you want to phrase it.
We're moving back to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Moving in my basement.
To
OH.
I-O. We truly did get our dream apartment. Yeah. It was one of the places that we visited when we were up in the summer for a couple of weeks. We toured it. We fell in love with it. We had I don't know if anybody has done apartment searching like this or anything, but sometimes when you go and you tour a place and you leave, like as soon as you leave that place, you just like have a feeling. You're just like, I think that was it. I think that was it. And you just kind of knew.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that is how we felt when we left this place. So I'm very,
how I
very
feel about you.
Yeah, that's how I feel about you too.
Heck yeah. Every time I come over, I just, you know, just feel good, Tiff.
I just feel good vibes.
Yeah.
I'm just so excited. I really like it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So if
too.
You're asking about in-person recordings, yeah, they're gonna happen again.
Yeah.
Might not be every single time.
But we'll do it.
They're gonna
happen
again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure.
I got a big old table down here.
I mean, when it's like
butts and some seats
snowing like crazy, the beauty is we have set ourselves up for success with remote recording now.
Yes.
So it's not a necessity that we have to go over there, but it's fun to go over there. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a different vibe when you're all in the same room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's awkward pauses because of internet and stuff.
Right.
I'm gonna work on video, I promise. Yes, we will do video again. We will do video. Anyway,
no,
Katie,
now
you
can get my dumb faces for stupid little pictures that you guys like to do.
We've got some of the greatest gifts though because of that. Like that one with you rolling your eyes. Or the one
that
you
is
laughing.
A good one.
Those are
that
both
is me
so good.
On the regular. Rolling my eyes. 5-hour episodes? No. I have 2 children. A white man? No.
I'd rather sit on a hot grill.
I'd rather sit naked on a hot grill.
We started that again.
Oh my God, that show makes me laugh so hard. Yeah, I'm excited though. It's just a really us place. So,
dude, excited. When's your race?
Really soon.
When?
It is
3 weeks.
Hold on, I always get confused as to like
literally the 5K is in 3 weeks.
Shut your mouth. That's so soon.
Am I ready?
5K is nothing. You're so ready. You're so ready.
That's I.
She got new shoes.
I did get new shoes though.
You bringing them in?
I have to. Yeah. I kind of like looked up how to do it, and there's like some really weird things that people say, but. I think I'm just gonna like go walk in them and then take a short run in them and then be like, cool, you're good.
Nice.
Hopefully.
I'm trying out a new brand of, not a new brand, a new type of Brooks, because I have Brooks. I have a Brooks Ghost. I'm trying out the Adrenaline.
You are also trying out a new brand.
Yes, and I am trying out a new brand, Asics. I don't know what the exact one is, but it's like so cushy. And like I told Meg, I was like, the way that, because I went to this place that has like a little track in it so you can like try them out.
Mm-hmm. It's called Fit to Run.
Yeah.
They're great. They will actually like measure. They'll like record you running so that they can see how your feet land. And then they can like recommend shoes based on that.
Yeah, it's really
pretty cool.
And like these shoes like felt like they were like, come on, one more step. Come on, one more step. Like, okay, these are my marathon shoes.
Those are the encouragement that you need.
And they're like this really bright purple. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. And the other ones are like this cool, like whitish gray, which I never thought I'd get, but I really liked them. I also didn't expect to get two pairs of shoes, but my mother-in-law decided to surprise me with a Christmas present. So that was really nice. Plus, like my wife bought me the other shoes. That was really nice.
Awesome.
I mean, I bought them with our joint account.
Yeah, I know, but still. And actually, this is a good, I mean, not when this gets released, but today was the fundraising deadline and you guys killed it ahead of time.
Yeah, yo.
We raised over $3,000.
The team raised over $200,000.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Incredible.
For like cancer research, y'all.
Blown away. Blown away. So thank you for anyone who donated, anyone who shared, anyone who encouraged. Like, thank you. I will never eat a Birdie Butts bean ever again in my life.
And we do still owe you guys a Harry Potter marathon day.
Yes.
And
yes,
will absolutely do that. Except our lives are going to be pretty crazy here now for the next like 8 weeks. But I promise you it will happen.
Meg will not eat a salad again.
Guys, I just hate them. I'm sorry.
God, you're not really living.
Just running though, trying to. I just want to finish. That's all I care about. I just want to finish. I'm a little nervous, but.
You will. You got this.
Thank you.
We're going to get to hang out with the Brookhearts. Regine and Kelly are going to come into town, and then we're going to go on a freaking cruise all together. All together.
You're going to be nuts.
I'm not jealous.
You're going to be nuts.
Come on.
But I also don't like cruises.
Yeah, that's true.
Vomit. All right. Is there a bingo? I don't think there is.
There is.
There is.
Oh, a bingo.
Sam.
She did?
Yep, she did. She's sending it.
You stinker. I'm so happy.
I was like, don't call her a stinker. She's a Gryffindor.
I know. Stinker is term of endearment. Okay.
All right. Let's see. Where are we?
Hold on. Sam, Sam's going to get an extra 50 points
Sam,
for Gryffindor.
Send the picture, Sam.
Got to validate. It.
What up, Brandon? What's the question?
Yeah.
Can you spare a square?
Brandon's question was, I would like to know why the one episode where you said Twilight, I believe he put like over this very large number, was the one where you didn't mention Twilight the series. I needed one square. That's really funny. I usually try to mention it every time, and just today wasn't the time.
Sam definitely got bingo. Congrats.
I love that Voldemort's feet have a square.
Right.
It's disgusting.
And the fact that we freaking said it.
Right.
Right. I think Voldemort. That comes up more often than not.
Oh, Voldemort has a square.
Terrible.
All right.
Terrible.
So Let's see the standings. Did we give Gryffindor the points?
I believe that we are still in fourth.
No, that's a good question.
I wish that that was a thing, Sam, but it's not. I'm sorry. There's no extra points for two-way bingo.
You get extra two-way bragging bingo. Points.
That should be a thing. Give it to us just this once.
All right. Ravenclaw is in first with 5,294 points. Hufflepuff is in second with 3,975. You guys are so close to 4,000. Slytherin is in third place with 3,332. And Gryffindor is in fourth with
2,910. Hey, wow. For us.
Dude, Ravenclaw just like smashing it.
Ravenclaw started to like go crazy ahead because like that first that trivia.
Yeah,
they got so many points from trivia.
I know. Well, we're gonna
not
do
to say that you
in...
don't get a lot of bingos here, but
I think we're doing another one in February. I have to look at the schedule. I have next year all scheduled out for all of the extra curriculars.
Curriculars.
What is this episode for?
Hiccups for Joseph.
Okay. Joseph. I don't know. There's nothing else that this could be for.
Oh, hiccuping Joseph. You are with us.
So that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing. Just my voice.
Right, I have the hiccups. Where did they come from?
Don't care. Let's start.
Where did they come from? Where did they go? Where did they come from?
Hiccuping Joe.
Jinx, you want me a Coke?
We didn't say the same thing.
What did you say?
I said hiccup Joe. You said hiccuping Joe.
Is hiccuping Joseph?
Oh my God. Can't wait to record with you right now.
It's gonna be a good
real life.
All right, I'm starting.
Wait, like
yes.
The episode?
Why?
Are you holding your breath trying to get rid of them? It's gonna be a night.
It's gonna be me.
Bye, Swishers.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save